hearing officer concerning two issues. First was possible remedies in this case, and the second issue was the date which the appellant received the decision by the purchasing agency denying the appellant's protest. Council agree to those off the record discussions that we've had?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay. For the record now, Mr. Terlahi, when did your client receive the decision, the purchase agency's decision denying your client's appeal or your client's protest?
The 21st of June, 2011.
Okay. And I think we've already calculated that the July 6, 2011 notice of appeal is within 15 days of that date. All right. The first order of business for the pre-hearing conference. This was also supposed to be the motion hearing date. Did the parties file any motions?
No motions in regard for the appellate.
Thank you, Mr. Valley. Purchasing agency?
No motions, Mr. Patrick.
Which allows us to go into the pre-hearing conference.
Mr. Camacho, if I may?
Yes.
I talked to Mr. McLaughlin concerning this the upcoming hearing. Joseph Development is willing to waive the actual formal hearing if the parties can agree that by, since August 29th is the formal hearing date, if we could have till August 29th end of day to file our briefs on this matter, and then the Office of the Public Auditor can make a decision on the briefs, on the filed documents.
Okay. So the additional document, my understanding is the hearing brief itself?
Will be the hearing brief itself.
Okay. Now keep in mind that's just a summary of the arguments of the respective parties. If you've already made those same arguments in your pleadings, they're not really necessary, but if you wanted to submit your hearing brief, I know that I believe your deadline to do so was August the 26th. Would you still like to have that date as the deadline to file the hearing brief?
Your Honor, the 29th, I think. It's
Mr. Camacho is fine.
Sorry.
I know it's a
I just, okay. But Mr. Camacho, the 29th is just 3 days extra. I think that would give a more than adequate time for everybody, if that's acceptable to everybody.
Okay. So, are you going to file a waiver?
I can file a waiver. Okay. I'll file a waiver with my. I'll do you want that prior to the.
Yeah, I will. Okay, here's what will happen. If you file your waiver, your formal hearing is you're the only party that's requested a hearing. Is that correct, Mr. Lawson?
That is correct.
Okay. If you file a waiver of hearing, I will then issue an order, okay, vacating the hearing on the 29th and in its place extend the date to file your hearing brief. Which would be the final pleading in this matter on that date. Now, as the issue of remedies was raised, as we discussed prior to this, would you also like that date to be a deadline to file, or the hearing brief should also encompass the party's proposed remedy?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay, I'm just going to say hearing brief, but you know, put a note that states that the parties may also file what they otherwise would have filed in their reframe remedies, okay? And I'll entertain those as well. So there be no motions. I believe that the, when do you think you might file your?
I'll try to get it in this afternoon.
Okay, yeah, if you get it in this afternoon, I'll try to get the order setting.
I'll try to fill it out this morning. If I can get it in my lunch and something.
Okay. One of the issues I'd like you to touch on, okay, in the hearing briefs, respectively, from your differing points of view, is what were the justifications for the cancellation, especially from the purchasing agency's point of view, but we are also interested in hearing the appellant's side of that argument, and whether or not such justification for canceling the solicitation was valid under Wampanoag Criminal Law and Regulation. I know you're both going to have very different viewpoints concerning that issue, but that definitely is one issue that the public auditor would desire, knowing as she decides this matter.
Maybe if I could, just from a practicality point of view, from the government's perspective, you know, where else is revenue and tax going to go? The lease is up, and in talking with the director, you know, he doesn't know where else to go. So I don't understand.
Well, certainly, but if, you know, just in that, for clarification, in that point, if there was a question regarding funds,
yes,
and it was canceled due to funds, but the, yeah, the follow-up question to that would be a remedy as to making a fair, something is a fair and reasonable determination, or maybe more appropriately, if there's one bid received, entering into a sole source negotiation off of something like that to make sure that the government's interests are protected and that, you know, going forward, that they would be able to negotiate the best price, and understanding that, you know, those are the types of steps when the government determines something, you know, if one bid is received, are they then able to go in and receive, you know, enter into sole source negotiations? Usually that's something that's it's a burden to cross, because with government procurement, you want to make sure that there's competition, but the underlying concern, I'm sorry, is where the government is just most interested always in getting the best price, and that's.
And certainly, I don't question that whatsoever. But the procurement record seems to be devoid of the rationale for the cancellation.
I was just thinking that there was an analysis of saying the availability of funds, and I believe the procurement record has a letter from a deputy director of revenue and tax saying that funds aren't available.
Okay.
And then there's a clarification in my most recent submission as to what that was, how that determination was made for funding.
And the parties.
All right, that's fine.
The parties can certainly cite the various portions of the procurement record. Mr. Bell, you have a copy of the procurement record.
Yes.
Okay, you should by this point. Where in the procurement record, or what documents in the procurement record specifically support your respective arguments? You'll have the opportunity to identify those documents in your respective briefings on this issue. Okay. So, that being said, upon receipt of the waiver of the hearing, by the appellant, I will vacate that hearing date. But I want to make it very clear, if I don't receive the waiver of the hearing, okay, we are going to proceed with the scheduled hearing and the existing filing deadlines, okay, if I don't receive that. So, not to put a gun over your head, but we're all in the room when we came up with those dates. Plan for a hearing. So without the waiver of the hearing, we're going to have the hearing. Okay? But clearly, if you submit it, I will submit a subsequent order vacating those dates and establishing the the amended date for the hearing brief. Okay? Are there any other matters that we need to bring up at this time?
Not for me.
Mr. McLaughlin?
No, Mr. Fletcher.
Am I saying your name correctly, McLaughlin? Or is it McLaughlin?
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin, okay. And I want to make sure I say that correct.
It's a point of contention in Massachusetts.
You said McLaughlin.
Yes.
Okay, very good, Mr. McLaughlin. Thank you. And there'll be nothing further. This hearing is adjourned, and we are off the record at 9:30 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Really like Smith.